Thank you so much. We're going to continue our worship services by reading from the Bible. Encouraging words has been said and read, and we've had times to pray. Now the Bible tells them when you meet, let there be a song, let there be a word, let there be a prophecy, let there be interpretation and tongues. So we're going to hear the word of God. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 17, Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19, Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19, it says, "Now Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourself to the priest.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all the 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you whole.'" Amen. "Rise and go. Your faith has made you whole." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today we want to look at this passage. I'm sure I've preached it here before. I believe I can remember when we were doing some series and we said have a life of thanksgiving. So I've preached on it probably once or twice, and you must have read this 1,000 times yourselves. And today, as I hear Shanice and Claire and of course Michael come and give out a testimony, meaning they come to tell of what God has done. They're literally saying, "God, we just want to give you glory because you're the only one who could have done these things for us. And besides, we just want to say thank you." That's what they're saying. Do you hear that? Even though they didn't say, "God, we thank you, God, we thank you." But they're saying, "God, we thank you," by standing in front of you declaring that. So what I want us to look at today in this passage, at some point I'll ask you to read certain verses to me, is the fact that these two or three people who have come to give a testimony, they've had a God encountering moment. And these 10 lepers had God encountering moments. And when we talk about God encountering moments, we are talking about supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit, where God shows his power on behalf of those that thirst for him, that desire, or hunger for him. Remember, I'm listening to Shanice and Michael, and at a time, it was almost like chaos and confusion. And I agree with you, Shanice. Sometimes your brain can't work. It just stops functioning. One situation just go haywire. And sometimes you may have sleepless night. And I'm listening to Claire. And Claire's situation is like, "I want a job, but I don't think I'm really thinking about it." And then God shows up. So these are supernatural moments that God shows up by the power of the Holy Spirit on behalf of his people. And today, if we are God's people, then today we just want to know that God wants to show up for you. But then God doesn't only show up for his people, but he shows up for the foreigners too. Hallelujah. He shows up for the Samaritans too. He shows up for the outcasts too, the lepers, the left behind, those who are not even of God. He shows up for them too when they call upon his name. Hallelujah. And for us to have this supernatural encounter, I would say that anyone can have God encountering moment if we are open to what God is saying and we act on it. God encountering moments come when we cry out to God. When we cry out to God. In some translations reading this, it said that the 10 lepers together called out to God. They called out to God. They called out to God. And calling out to God is a sustaining thing. It's a consistent prayer life. You see, when you are calling out to God, it's a present, continuous thing. It's not just once in a while, oh, God, I pray that you yourself help me out, and then God helps you out. Oh, it didn't happen. Okay, maybe another time we can make another date. But to have a God encountering moment in your life, you should have a sustaining, continuous prayer life. Hallelujah. Because sometimes certain things cannot just come as you see it. You have to persist in prayer. You have to press on in prayer. You have to push in prayer. You have to have that as a lifestyle for God to come through for you. Hallelujah. You see, when you sustain a consistent prayer life, your issues become smaller and your God becomes bigger. Your focus will then shift onto God, who understands your story and is able to show his power on your behalf, because God understands your story. And as you sustain your prayer, he hears that and he does that. And as we come back to this passage, we hear that now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveling along the border between Samaria and Galilee. So if this place was to be Galilee, he is coming from here, Samaria. So somewhere along the line, I don't know where he was coming from, maybe somewhere along there, but he wanted to go there where my sister Jill is. So Jesus was coming, and he came along the borders of Galilee. That's where he was always his base. But he passed through Samaria. And then somewhere along in between, he met these guys who called him. And what did he say? They stood. The Bible said, and as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You see, when they said they met him, does not mean that Jesus Christ embraced them, because if you are leprous, you don't come anywhere near where healthy people are. So they met means that they saw him, they saw him, they recognized him. They must have heard about him somewhere. And something prompted them. In their minds, they knew that this man was a miracle-working God. They knew that this man worked miracles. He changed the situation. So they wanted a supernatural encounter with God. They want God encountering moments. And that was one. What did they do? They cry out and said, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. In the chaos, confusion, and the large crowd that might have been gathering over there, or that might have been following Jesus Christ, or sometimes a cloud that is hanging over their heads because they were leprous. Nobody wanted them, so that was a big cloud hanging over their heads. We still have to cry out to God, and he will hear us. Amen. We read the story of a guy who was blind. His name is Bartimaeus. He was blind from birth. And there were so many people following Jesus Christ. There was so much commotion and noise. But he made sure that his voice was heard. The Bible said he shouted, he cried out. And people even went to him and said, shut up. See, even us who can see can't even touch him. And you so far away, you can't see. And you want him to come to you? Or you want to see him? It's very ironic, isn't it? And somehow along the line, he persisted in prayer. So what I'm trying to bring to your attention is that for us to have God encountering moment, for him to supernaturally turn our situation around, we have to learn to cry out to God in a sustained way. Hallelujah. We have to cry out to God. It doesn't matter. Sometimes your leprosy may be staring at you, but God is reaching out to you right now. Your leprosy may be heavy burdens at home. Your leprosy may be heavy burdens with your kids. Your leprosy may be job situation that you want to change, and sometimes there's a blockage somewhere. Your leprosy may be something that is not going the way you want it to go. Maybe a business opportunity that is not breaking through for you. That may be your leprosy actually making you an outcast, holding you back, preventing you from, getting the reality of life as many people have, or meaningful life as many people have. But somewhere along the line, God is reaching out to you right now in the name of Jesus. Sadly, many people give up under the weight and the pressure of their reality. Others look for quick fixes. And if it doesn't happen, they just stop praying. They sit at home or just shut out their supernatural, encounters, and then they miss out on God's doing in their lives. Hallelujah. They shut out God and they dismiss it that, nah, God, if God is around, how come I'm going through this? If God is around, how come this thing has persisted? If God is around and I'm coming to church and I'm praying and I'm receiving prayer, if God is around, what is happening? But what about your own consistent, sustaining prayer life? What about your own crying out to God? These people cried out to God, and God heard them. And God heard them. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, you read that we ought to. That means it is important and it's absolutely necessary to always pray and faint not. To always pray and faint not. That means we should always pray and not give up. That's the New International Version's translation. That Jesus Christ told a story about a woman and a judge, to let people know right from the beginning that we have to always pray and not give up. Always meaning a sustaining and consistent prayer life. That brings God encountering moment in your life. And sometimes what prevents is that because I've mentioned it before, that we are under so much weight. But then the Bible has solutions for that. God said, look, your weight is the weight that you are carrying, the burden that you are carrying is weighing you down. It can sink you. It can disturb you. It can mess you about. But you know what? Why don't you come and bring it to me? Why don't you turn it over to me? Why don't you say, God, you know what? This thing is killing me. I can't handle no more. I have no solution to it. I'm messed up. I don't even know where to go. So you take it off me and let me look to you, and I'm going to trust you to do something for me. Hallelujah. Are we going to trust God this way? Another way that we can have God encountering moments, my brothers and sisters, is to have persist in continuous corporate prayer and intercession. Let me explain it to you. You've got to join up with people to pray. You've got to be part of a praying gang to pray. To do this, and you'll be thinking, how does this relate to this passage? You see, already I've alluded to the fact that as they cried out to God, was their prayer to Jesus, right? That was their prayer. They were crying out to God. I don't know whether they were crying tears or something, but they were shouting to him and said, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And if your back is to the wall, like Shanice and Michael's back was to the wall and looking at, stars as it were, or seeing stars as it were, about everything going down the drain, somehow along the line, your back is to the wall. You have no choice than to cry out to God. The choice is not to go to Singapore. Is that where you come from? Bless you. The choice is not for you to roll back. The choice is for you to press on and go forward. Because that is the only way. That is the only future. That is the only plan that you have. There's no point for the lepers to hang around and stay in their secluded place. And they saw Jesus coming. The only way for them was to come and say, hey, you know what? We all lepers here. We all struggling here. You know what? Nobody wants it. But this man, I know he's a healer. And we want to encounter him. So together, corporately, the Bible said, they, right? It didn't say one. It said, they shouted out. They cried out. So have a persistent or persistent, continuous corporate prayer and intercession. Intercession means sometimes you also pray for someone. So I want to challenge you, church, that begin to think about joining hands with somebody, joining hands with someone in this church, wherever you want to, and pray together and have a sustaining prayer life, without which we will not have God encountering moments. We have to do that. If you want to see God's power in our situation, we have to persist in continuous corporate prayer and intercession. They were together and crying out to Jesus, verse 12 to 13. If you really said, and as he was going to the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice as a corporate body. Their corporate cries caught Jesus' attention. When we read verse 14, it says, and when he saw them, he said, go, show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. But if you roll back to verse 12, there's a small word, the ten who had leprosy met Jesus. And I want you to underline that they met Jesus. It means the 10 encountered Jesus. They encountered Jesus the moment he was passing by. You see, and if you are in a corporate prayer mood and persistent in that and intercession, you will encounter Jesus. Somewhere along the line, the fire that will be ignited among you as a community, you will encounter Jesus. We are not made as human beings to stand alone. We will break up. That is why most of you or majority of people were born into families. Do you understand that? When we stand alone, we break up. And the Chinese have a proverb that a single bamboo will crash under the storm, but you have a bunch of bamboos, and the storm will come and they will sway. And they sway the other way and the other way around because they lie and rely on each other. And bamboo, as I know it, I've seen some before. If you haven't seen a big bamboo before, there's a small bamboo in the front of this church. You see that little weed that you see as you're coming in? It's bamboo. But they grow into big, big stuff. And you can break one quite easily. But when they're together in the forest and the storm comes, you don't get bamboos breaking. I'm thinking big trees get uprooted. 20 years ago, it was chaos in this country when it was one big storm. Let them go and live in Jamaica or go and live in, probably not even Jamaica, let them go and live in the Caribbean islands where there are hurricanes. Or the middle belt of America where there are tornadoes. It crashes things and bamboos still remain because they were together. We have to be together in prayer. And persist in that. And that is exactly what these people do. The 10 lepers encountered Jesus on his way when he was passing by. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And they went. And they were cleansed. When he saw them. And as they went. You see, when the word is them, when he saw them. So when you get together and pray about your situations, whether it's good news that you want, whether it's a child that you want, whether it's some business opportunities that you want to break through for you, whatever the issue is, as they prayed, Jesus saw them and told them, go and show yourself to the priest. And as they went, each time the focus is on the plural, as they went, the lepers acted out their faith in Jesus. They took action at the words of Jesus. The 10 lepers understood the law of expectation. Because he said, go and show yourself to the priest. I would have expected Jesus Christ to say, be healed in my name or be healed in the name of God. Right and right then. Isn't that what sometimes we want? You're praying and Jesus Christ needs to look at you and say, Lord, you are healed. And I'm thinking, I didn't hear that. Or Lord didn't hear that. But I said, go and show yourself to Pastor Gideon. I don't know what you have to come to show yourself for. But then Jesus Christ has, there's some sanity in his madness, if you want to put it that way. Say, go and show yourself to the priest. They understood the law of expectation. When the lepers shouted, Jesus, Master, have pity on us, they were indeed expecting Jesus to do something in their lives. They were expecting Jesus to do something in their lives. But faith is the key. When he said, go and show yourself to the priest, they believed him. Faith manifests what has already been predetermined and accomplished. Therefore, faith expects something to happen. So these people had faith that something is going to happen. When he tells us that we should go and show ourselves to the priest, they believe Jesus. They believe Jesus. And they believe in his word. Faith believes in God's ability to do the impossible and change situations. Don't call on Jesus or speak the word if you don't or doubt that anything will happen when the Son of Man comes. Will he find faith on this earth? That's what Luke chapter 18 verse 8 says. The same story that I told you, the verse 1 said that we always have to pray, persistent prayer. In verse 8, that's finishing that story, said, and when the Son of Man come, will he find faith on this earth? Will God find faith on this earth? And let me tell you how these people exercise their faith. They also understood what I call the law of response. They understood the law of expectation. They expected their healing, so they acted on Jesus' words. And they also understood and exercised the law of response. The lepers understood the law of response and exercised it. Why? Because they listened out to God, what God was saying to them, and they acted on it. Go and show yourself to the priest. Lepers understood that Jesus' words meant you are healed. So they went so that it will be accomplished. They also understood what the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 14, that if somebody has a leprosy and the person believes that has been healed, then you have to go and show yourself to the high priest so the high priest will certify you clean and pray over you so that disease doesn't come anymore. They understood that. So when he told them that go and show yourself to the priest, they were actually responding to the word of God. Hey, you know why we have the word of God? He said that this is a God encountering moment. I'm sure when they were going, they said, whoa, we're going to show ourselves to the priest. That means we are clean. And at that time, they were not clean, were they? Their problems were there. Their leprosies were there to see. Their hands were crooked. Probably their feet were crooked. Probably their lips were crooked, cracked, and whatever it is, and split with sauce and everything. Yet they made that move. They responded to the faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, and as they went, verse 14, when he saw them, he said, go. And then, verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back. But then if you go on to verse 17, Jesus said, were not all 10 cleansed? Did you see that? All of them were cleansed, not just the one. All of them got cleaned. All of them were delivered. They responded to Jesus. So for us as children of God, if you want to have God encountering moment, we have to respond to God's word. We have to respond to God's word and take action. Appropriate it to yourself. That means do what the word of God says. Go and show yourself to the priest, irrespective of your situation. Sometimes people get prayed for and they're looking for instant solutions. When they pray for, they don't feel anything, they don't see anything, and they're thinking nothing has happened. Let me share this story. I didn't plan to share this, but I think it will be helpful. I remember many years ago, we used to live this new wonderful development. It wasn't as this new and wonderful as it was, but it was good enough. And I remember at the time, right in this church, we used to have evening celebrations. A lot of people, the Holy Spirit was moving powerfully, and people would come and they prayed for, and people would fall down, and some people too come. And after, and I remember that day, one evening, I was child minding for my wife, or maybe I was child minding for myself, I guess. And wife walked into this church. All around her, people were falling and laughing. Miracles were happening here in this church, right here, one evening. And then she came and stood. Nobody even prayed for her. She was all disappointed. No instant solution. No experience. And then probably quite upset, expectedly, she just walked out of the house. And we're just about 5-10 minutes walk, so she decided to walk home. I don't know what was going through her mind. And she encountered God, not here, but on the road. And my wife came home, and there were so much tears in her face. Her eyes were all puffed up like, pumpkins. And as soon as I saw her, I knew she has encountered God, but I didn't say a word. Right? Because I didn't want to cause any commotion. So I just kept quiet. And she didn't say a word. The Holy Spirit hit her. And since that time, she's never been the same. That is absolutely true. And in case you're thinking about which wife I'm talking about, it's this one. Right. So I just want you to know that we can encounter God. And sometimes it may not be instant. But then when we believe God and act on it, God works for us. And God is able to work for us. So there should be that response. We have to respond to God encountering moments, and let's believe that our God is able to. What is God saying to you right now? Maybe you've been prayed for many times and nothing has happened. But I told this story for you to know that even though the fact that you've been prayed for, your God encountering moment is going to happen. In Jesus' name. And you have to believe that. You have to know that. You have to know that. They understood the law of response and they exercised it. They listened to what God was saying. They went to show themselves to the priest. And as they were going, it did happen. And as they went, they were cleansed. We must learn to respond to genuine supernatural power without fear and skepticism. And I'm sure at the time, probably there was some skepticism there. When we acknowledge authentic manifestations of the supernatural, we reap the kind of victories, breakthroughs, healings, and blessings that eludes those who react negatively. We also have to learn to offer praise, worship, and thanksgiving to God. Listen to what Jesus Christ said in verse 70. Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you whole. But what did this person do for Jesus Christ to do that? Verse 15 and 16. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Hallelujah. And he was a Samaritan. A life of praise, worship, and thanksgiving is essential to help us to experience God's supernatural power and have God encountering moments. We have to do that. We have to thank God for the little things that happens to us. Sometimes for some of us, we want to win the lottery before we thank God. You have a long time to wait. Some of them of us probably waiting for something that we know that we probably haven't worked for it. And we expect that to happen. But we just have to know that ask someone to pray for you if you can't find the strength to praise the Lord. If you can't find the strength to cry out to God, don't go home after service. Ask somebody, say, please Pray for me. I believe in this God. I know that you cannot change my situation, but my God can change my situation. I've heard something today about people who were outcasts, who had no hope, who were sold and rejected, and everybody turned away from them. They couldn't even live in the cities. And yet they encountered Jesus Christ, the prophet of God. You know that it is actually legal for them to encounter or to come near a prophet of God according to the laws of the leprosy. They are not supposed to, and yet they cried out to him. So today, cry out to someone, cry out to God and ask someone, said, pray for me. I believe that God is able to turn my situations around, and he's able to do that because there are so many people who need God to come out for them, who need to encounter God in a wonderful way, and somehow we need to ask for prayer. Don't you come to this church and go home without receiving prayer. Because it doesn't do you any good as you go home with your burden still upon your shoulders. It doesn't glorify God to have met Jesus, to have heard his word, and go back home and your situation remain the same. Or go back home with the same burden that you are carrying. It doesn't praise God at all. It doesn't. And this person who came and cried out with loud voice, who came back and thanked God in a loud voice and threw himself at Jesus' feet, was a Samaritan. That is not someone that you would call a strong Christian. Not even a Christian. That person came back and threw himself. And some of you are strong Christian. Are we going to throw ourselves before God? You see, sometimes we only focus on that one issue that is bothering us, but we forget about the blessings that God has given us that we have to look at and just thank God for that. Do you understand that? And thank God for that. You see, I'm not a woman. I've never had a baby before, but I'm not even a midwife, never will be. But somehow along the line, I just want you to understand that from what I hear, having a baby is a very challenging time and a very difficult time. But when the baby is born, you know what? No mother thinks about the pain that they had that day. That minute, they just rejoice that they have a baby. When they put the baby on their breast and the baby is all dirty and crying and this, my baby, praise God. Say it again. Exactly. Boy, I'm prophesying now. You see, that's the newest child among us. She said exactly that. Don't tell me about the other bit, right? Right. I hear it's difficult, but she wasn't thinking about the difficulty that she had gone in a few minutes or hours and days before, but she was thinking about my baby. What a joy. So here we are, we're saying that let us focus on God's goodness and praise God for what he has given us. Because as much as you are thinking about that issue that is not shifting, there are more issues that have shifted for you that has a reason for you to give glory to God and thank him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, here he came to fall down or prostrate before God. In honor and in reverence before God. He fell on our Jesus' feet. That means he came to worship God. He prostrated in homage before God. It's an expression of submission and honor to our God. He threw himself at Jesus. Praise recognizes God's powerful works, while worship acknowledges the person of God. So the 10 lepers acknowledge that you are God. You have, especially the one leper who came back, acknowledged that you are God. You have done something for me that nobody could have done. And I want you to know that I appreciate that and thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So in thanksgiving, we recognize God's goodness. Our petitions to God must always be accompanied by thanksgiving. Because when you read Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Right? It doesn't mean that when you're going through a bad time, God wants you to just, look at a bad time and say, God, I thank you that I'm going through the bad time, bring some more. Well, prayer like that probably may not help you. But you have to say, God, I thank you that in the midst of these challenges, you're going to provide a way. Hallelujah. That is what we want. Let me pick up one subheading, and then I'll probably close it. The experience can be repeated if you desire it. God encountering moment can be repeated if you desire it. Because let's go back to the Bible again. And said, when Jesus Christ was no one found to return, here it is, return and give praise to God except this foreigner. Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Amen. He was already cleansed. He was already healed. But then he came back this time and fall at the feet of Jesus Christ. This time a closer encounter. And when he encountered Jesus Christ up close and personal, he says that your faith has made you well. Another experience of an encountering of God. So what I'm trying to press on to you is that we should seek regular, continuous, and almost a lifestyle of encountering God in our lives, where God is doing supernatural things, so we can come and testify here in this church, testify here on the, testify out there on the hilltops, testify to our friends and say, hey, you know what? Ruth has got a baby called Sasha. You ask her how we spell it. It's an Irish name. I have to actually go on some classes to be able to spell it, but it's simple. I'm sure with time we'll get it. I won't try. She's looking at me. So here we are. That somehow along we have to let everybody know that some good news has happened. And this God encountering moment should be a normal thing. When was the last time that you encountered God or God did something supernatural in your life? When? Do you remember? This is a challenge I'm throwing to you. When was the last time that God came for you? Did you pray consistently? Did you persist in prayer? Did you actually have a corporate response? Did you actually expected God to do something for you? Did you respond to God? Did you thank God? Did you praise Him? This one leper who returned to give praise to God encountered Jesus again and again. And we have to look for these things as a normal thing. Because each time I read the Bible, what I see is that it is not just one encounter people have with God. They do have it all the time. Because our God is a miracle-working God. We are not talking in abstract. We are talking about reality. And I can assure you that when Claire came to share about her testimony, she's not talking about things that happened 2,000 years ago. She's talking about something that happened just this summer. Isn't that right? And Michael and Shanice were talking about something that happened maybe a week or two ago. These are realities. It can happen for you. Remember, it doesn't only happen to foreigners. It happens to natives too. When the Holy Spirit came, the Bible says that the 12 were there, 120 of them were there. Most of these people were Jesus' people. They were Israelites. But then when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, it touched people from many places. And it wasn't only one time that it was poured upon people. That supernatural encounter that came, the Bible said it fell upon them from many nations and spoke in various tongues. God is trying to tell us that we have to look for that supernatural encounter all the time in our lives. But time is up, so I just want to wrap up to say this. Where do we go from here? If people genuinely walk and want to see the Holy Spirit's power so that they will live in miracles, then they have to desire it. There's got to be that desire. If you need an encounter with God for healing or breakthrough, you have to cry out to God. If you want someone to stand with you in prayer and in power on a specific issue, please, I want to encourage you not to run home, but come and speak to someone or the leaders, and we'll be happy, or some of us will be happy to pray for you tonight, this morning. That brings my message to an end. Shall we stand as we've been sat for a little while?